Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Playwright Ethel Fugard passed away at 93 over the weekend. Really, tributes pouring in. This is really a giant who has fallen. Joburg Theatre's artistic director, James Ngobo, is on the line with us. Mr. Ngobo, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela. Thank you so much. Yes.
It's very difficult. I thought of how do we even give him a title like just playwright? He was more than that, was he not? How would you describe Ethel Fugard?
You know, when you think of the era that inspired Ethel Fugard to write all those prolific plays that he not only gave to this country but gave to the world, he was a titan. There was just something so, you know, in the olden days they would speak of a village crier. He was for this country. And he had an amazing way of hoisting the flag of South Africa. And he wrote about the degradation that was happening in this country. And the most beautiful those plays, when you watch them, you never thought that you were sitting in some kind of conference about South Africa. He wrote, he just had an amazing knack to write characters and put characters in the most difficult of situations and allow the characters to navigate that space and give each of those characters a desperate need that they have, which is what drives them. And you look at plays like People Are Living There, Sizobanzi is Dead, Blood Knot, Nongoko, Road to Mecca, Captain's Tiger, Playland, and just all these plays exhibit something so beautiful that Arthur had. He had a love for the actor. And it comes from the fact that he was himself. He gave an actor such palatable text that empowered an actor to stand in front of an auditorium, and spew such amazing words. And his relationship with Zeki Mopaye, which was the beginning of the early years of adulthood, in the 60s, and he wrote Blood Knot, a very brave play with two brothers, one white, one black, and the blood knot was the womb they laid in.
You know, it's interesting to talk about the writing itself and the plays themselves, but we also have to contextualize it in the sense that it's a time when the Market Theatre, for instance, was one of the few who allowed audiences to be in the same room, black and white audiences, the stage to be occupied by black and white people, where security guards would be sitting right there, the security police monitoring what's happening there. It must have taken some level of activism to be brave enough to stage, absolutely, to be brave enough to stage plays where you are monitored at every line. And who you casting and what do they do if the black man kisses a white lady and so on. And you still went on to do it.
Yes, I mean, we all of us now in South Africa, we are able to tour works and internationally. And Ethel Fugard was the portal that allowed that to happen because he introduced South African narrative to the world and the pain of what was going on at the time. But at the same time, he wrote characters that were chasing hope. And so you were saying to the world, with all the problems, with all the anarchy that this country was experiencing at that time, but there was a sense, there was this utopian dream that people in this country, black and white, were dreaming towards a space where what you look like is not important. And that was in Ethel's place. And you know, all the way to working with people like Connie Mabaso, Louis Nkosi from the Drum Decade, and until you met these two young and actors called John Carney and Winston Chona in PE and created beautiful works. Nongoko Bushman and Leanna. Mm. Atul Fugard wrote those two plays for one of the finest actors this country has ever produced, and her name was Nomhle Nkonyeni from Port Elizabeth. Mm. And I was saying today, Pamela, to the team when we had a meeting, and I said, when you look at what people like Martin Scorsese have done for New York, Neil Simon has done for New York in plays, Atul Fugard introduced to the world a city called Port Elizabeth on the east coast of this country. And that's where he comes from. Port Elizabeth birthed him as a playwright, as a scribe, as a wordsmith. And so he did that, inspired a multitude of writers, not only in this country, but all over the world. Atul set a bar for anyone who was contemplating writing a play, to say writing a play is not a delusional exercise. It is about digging deep and give context to the world you're writing about, the people you're writing about. He created biographies that oozed a thing that one would call the human condition. So his works just exhibited that he was a student of humanity and had a great fascination with humanity and the disparities that were in this country, that some people could go to certain places for certain period of time, and at some time they have to leave. That was during the infrast control years. And a young white boy called Atul Fugard was... That is what tickled his curiosity as to why is it different? Why is life like this on this one part of the city and different on the other part of the city? And he just wrote these plays. I've met playwrights and in England and in the UK who have gone to watch their plays, and afterwards they say to me, I was inspired by reading this play by Atul Fugard, and he would be remembered with an idea that there is no faculty of the arts anywhere in the world where there isn't a module on how Atul Fugard was writing plays, and all the way to his death, he was the most produced playwright in the world.
You know, you speak of how people were inspired by him. I want us to look a little bit at his background. And you say, obviously, he was questioning why one part of the country and one part of the city looked this way and not the other. But let's talk a little bit about home. He came from relatively poorish home, did he not?
Yes. Raised by a woman called Magdalene Potgieter, who gave Atul Fugard all the love. I mean, It is in his first autobiographical play called Master Harold and the Boys that he did his interaction with those two black waiters, Sam and Willie, that worked for his mother. And then you fast forward the tape to an 86-year-old Atul Fugard who came to the market to do a play called In the Shadow of a Hummingbird after spending years living in San Diego. And you just realize the love he had for this country, because in the shadow of a hummingbird, he's almost introspecting on the new South Africa, and which even for him was untapped territory, was something that he dreamt of, but when it came, it was something that he had to navigate. And the actors around the world that have been given a chance to be in or an opportunity to be in his place. There's a theater in New York called the Signature that has almost an obsession with Atul Fugard, the Royal Court in London. And then you look at all the young and emerging playwrights and emerging and actors. I audition a lot of actors, and a lot of actors to this day, when you say to them, I ask your agent that you should prepare a monologue, they pull a few card. So his legacy is just going to be something that will stay with us for a long time. And I'm hoping that someone, somewhere, or maybe the Department of Arts and Culture, will create an award that will be for best emerging writers that will be named after Adolf Hugert, because he really, really set a bar for anyone that wants to write.
You've got that wall of fame. Is he in the name, in that wall?
When that wall of fame was coming up, Adolf Hugert was one of the first names that came up. So as Joburg Theatre,
yes,
we have joined a long queue of theatres around the world that is committed to the mollycoddling of his legacy and to allow young people to interact with his work.
Oh, fantastic. So that's one step in, you know, so we're going somewhere with this. It's wonderful. Look, how will you remember him personally?
Yeah, I would just, because I think my immediate memory of him will be attached to the fact that I've had the pleasure to direct four of his plays, and each one was absolutely different, and I will just remember some of the most insomniac nights that I've had as a director. And when I started early as a director, the first one I did was Master Harold and the Boys,
yeah,
at Theatre on the Square, and I just kept thinking, how do I get to this play? So I will remember him for challenging all of us to speak his words and to dream and just different incarnations of his work, to say whatever that you get to make, you're not helping Adolf Hugert. He has given you everything. You need to make a play that will make sure that an audience has access to his words. He's one of those writers that allows an audience to sit in the theatre and close their eyes and listen to Adolf Hugert.
Is he easy to direct? As in, you know, difficult. As a director and you pick up that work, how easy or difficult is it?
It's very, very difficult. I mean, when we did Blood Knot, which was staged at the Market, and it went to the Baxter Theatre with Ngcedi Shabang and Francois Jacobs, God, we had to find the play. And all you have is very minimalistic set. These two guys live in almost like a shack, and it's just the two of them.
Yeah.
And it's like a wrestle match between these two actors.
And that's a burden, right? When you have such a giant's work to work with, you almost want to match the level of excellence.
Yeah, you keep saying to yourself, I can't be the first director to mess it up. You know, that's why I'm saying I couldn't sleep. It's like we'll wake up in the morning and take long walks before I go to rehearsal. And when I get to rehearsal, we sit with the actors and unpack. And his monologues, he was one of the genius writers in writing monologues.
Yes.
Because they were always about moving the story forward and making an audience understand the world that he is creating. And when you cast it, you have auditions after auditions. You just have to find the right actors who will immerse themselves on his words.
Was there ever a night when he came to watch one of his plays that you directed?
Yes, he saw what was it? Nongo.
And were you? I mean, how did you know he's coming?
No, but then we discovered after the production, and you know, and you just wanted to run.
Yes, I know. Yeah, was I good enough? What did he think? All of that.
There, you just had a desperate need to be like Bruce Fordyce and start running.
What a lovely story. I really appreciate you giving us your time. Joburg Theatre's Artistic Director, James Novo, there. Just, you know, paying tribute to a giant. He was Order of Ikamangas in Silver, Lifetime Award Achiever. He had received the Order of Ikamanga in Silver, Adolf Hugert, who passed away over the weekend at 93.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.